I am not John Watt, but I know him very well. And I was talking to him last night, and he's really bummed out. But he did forward me a video, which we'll look at shortly, and some other things that I put together into a PowerPoint that he would have said if he was here, but I wanted you all to see him and Tara and the kids. And anyway, there'll be another chance, hopefully. There they are. Wish they were here. They wish they were here. I don't have the kids' picture. They didn't send me that, and I couldn't quickly put together some of my old slides. So anyway, that's John and Tara, and they've been serving the Lord now for a number of years with a ministry called Compass Aviation Ministry, and we'll talk about that shortly a little bit and see a really neat video, and hope you'll get to all appreciate more about what this ministry is doing down there in the North Carolina, between Charlotte and Asheville. There's John working on one of these planes, and he still reads the manual to make sure he's doing it right. I put this picture on. John gave it to me last night and said, "You got to show this." John grew up on the mission field. We were missionaries at Nankundi for a number of years, and John was born there. And from the earliest days, when he could put two Legos together and make an airplane, he was flying airplanes. And this is the hangar at Nankundi where he lived, and was actually beginning an apprenticeship program when we had to be evacuated back in 1991. But he built model airplanes and remote control planes and flew them right off that airstrip, and he has this on his desktop at home to remind him of where he grew up. At this point, I'm going to ask Saj to put a video on. It's a short video, and after it's done, I'm going to explain a little bit about why this video, how it came about, and who's in it. But it really gives a really nice overview of the work there. It's a non-professional video that was put together, and I'll explain by whom when it's finished.
Till graduation. I'm looking forward to finally making some money.
What do you mean? Did you get the job?
Yeah, haven't you heard?
So what company decided to take on such a liability?
The land surveyor, I told you about this. They admired my awesome math skills.
Hey, one more interview and I think I'll have that nursing job at Regional.
Really? That's awesome.
Hey guys, what's up?
What are we always talking about? What comes next? Have you found a missionary organization yet?
Actually, I have.
Really?
Yeah, I found this place called Compass Aviation.
Compass Aviation? Is that a missionary organization?
Basically, it helps train missionary pilots and mechanics for the mission field.
Shadon, that's perfect!
Why do you need missionary pilots and mechanics exactly?
Their job is really important. Missionary pilots fly out from their home base to different remote villages where other missionaries are teaching and ministering to the villagers. The pilots' jobs aren't exclusively flying. Using their planes, they transport anything the missionaries need, from food to mail to animals. They transport people, too, sometimes using their planes as flying ambulances. In many cases, these pilots are the missionaries' only contact to the outside world.
So I guess the mechanics just what? Repair the planes?
They make it possible for the pilots to actually go out to the missionaries. They do repair the planes and also maintain them. They keep the planes running smoothly for the pilots. Compass can train their candidates to be both pilots and mechanics.
So you need more training?
I need 50 more flight hours and a year of maintenance experience before I qualify for a technical evaluation.
What's a technical evaluation?
It's the application process for any aviation mission.
So when you finish your training, Compass Aviation will send you out to wherever you're most needed, right?
Well, actually, Compass wouldn't send me out. After I finish my training at Compass, I'll move on to another organization.
Like what?
Like the mission aviation associated with Wycliffe Bible Translators, called JARS, or Mission Aviation Fellowship, or AIM Air. Places like that, they actually send you out into the mission.
Huh. How did you connect with Compass Aviation?
Well, I emailed them, and they sent me an application. Their board is going to meet about me in a couple of days.
Well, I hope it works out for you, buddy. I got to go get some studying in, so see y'all.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I need to go too.
Later.
You too.
Bye, guys.
See you.
Aztec oil change. 172, inspection. Do you want to help with the oil change? 172, inspection. Okay, let's get to it. Are you completely moved in yet?
Pretty much. I still have a couple things left over at Mom and Dad's I need to pick up.
Okay, and have you found a church?
Well, I visited one last week that was right down the road from my apartment, and I have one in mind for next Sunday, but I haven't really settled in on one yet.
Well, I'm giving a presentation at our church on Wednesday night about Compass. Maybe you could come along, you know, give like a fresh perspective on Compass.
That'd be cool.
Okay, well, we could get together and run through it after work today.
Sounds good.
Compass Aviation is a 501c3 non-profit tax-exempt organization, and the majority of our staff and candidates are faith-supported.
Which just means that we're supported by individuals and churches whose gifts are tax deductible.
When someone has a heart to serve overseas in mission aviation, Compass will do whatever it takes to get them there. That's our main goal.
And what makes Compass so great is that we don't make anyone fit inside a mold. Compass doesn't mind working outside the box. It works with the individual to fulfill the mission aviation goals that God has placed before them.
Yeah, we've had about 30 people go through Compass throughout the years, and that's not as many as some aviation ministries, but we're investing a lot of time and energy into a few who will invest in a few more and invest in a few more.
Thanks. Hey, Megan, let me introduce you to Sean. Sean, this is Megan Lane. Excuse me, guys.
Hey, I've known Andy for a while, but we've never really talked about his work with Compass. So how did you get involved?
Well, the short version is I've loved airplanes all my life. When I was about 10 or so, I read this book about Nate Saint. And when I finished it, I was like, missionary pilot, that's what I want to be. But that had to wait till, you know, I could get through the fifth grade. Then finally, a couple months ago, I was looking on this website called iamanet.org. They post information about aviation ministries, and I saw Compass on there, and it looked perfect, so I sent them an email. That's how I got started.
That's neat.
Hey, Megan, we're going to the coffee shop later. Do you want to join us?
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Great.
So, how long did it take to be accepted by Compass?
A little over a month.
Is that how long it normally takes for someone to be accepted?
Actually, it can be 1 to 3 months before they get accepted, but they might not necessarily get here that quick. Actually, it could be up to a year before they arrive, because we ask the candidate to raise their support before they officially join Compass.
Okay. So you say you already have your pilot's license. Can Compass help someone get their pilot's license if they don't already have one?
Yeah, Compass has a flight instructor that offers flight lessons at a significantly reduced rate for their candidates compared to other flight instructors. We actually have a couple pilots that are working on their licenses right now.
Since you already have your pilot's license, how is Compass helping you?
Well, Compass gives me additional ratings and certifications that I'll need. It also gives me lots of hands-on mechanical experience. Also, the aviation, most aviation missions, like what I'll progress onto after Compass, require a certain number of flight hours, and Compass helps me get those.
Okay. So they give you like real life experiences as preparation for the mission field?
Right, and what's even better is Compass provides the training at little to no cost. They're also flexible and will give us additional time if we need it to raise more support.
Wow, that's awesome. So how long are you going to be with Compass?
Well, from what I've heard, a lot of people come in thinking they won't be at Compass long, but you have a lot to learn at Compass, and for a lot of learning, you need a lot of time. People stay at Compass anywhere from 1 to 5 years, with 1 year not being very typical.
Really? Oh, I've got to go. This is so neat. I'm really interested in what you've been telling me about. Wish I could see it for myself.
Well, you're welcome to come by the airport at any time. If I'm not there, one of the other guys can show you around.
I might do that. Well, I gotta go. Bye, guys.
All right, see you.
Hey, I just got off work and decided to drop by. Is now an okay time for you to show me around?
Yeah, that's fine. Take a break.
Yeah, just a sec. Hold on. This is one of the planes we're working on right now. It's a missionary plane we're refurbishing.
Wow, that looks difficult. What's up with the flags?
Those flags are a visual reminder that we're a part of something bigger than Shelby. Each of those flags represent a country that someone from Compass has either come from or gone to. Here, let's go check out some other stuff. This number here is used to identify the aircraft and will be placed right here on the sail.
So, do they stand for anything, or are they just random letters and numbers?
No, they definitely stand for something. The N identifies it as a U.S. aircraft. And 518 Charlie Alpha, the 518 stands for 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and the CA stands for Compass Aviation. We also have another tail number. It's 461 CA. It stands for Psalm 46:1, Compass Aviation.
What are those verses?
You'll have to look those up yourself. This is one of our major projects. It's the Cessna 206. Which is the backbone of missionary aviation. It's used all around the world by different ministries because it's able to carry a heavy load using a very small airstrip. When you think of airstrips, you normally think of smooth pavement, but that's not what it's like in other countries. Airstrips outside of our country are mostly made of grass or mud or gravel. They're called unimproved airstrips.
So why is this plane here?
Well, it's here to promote and build maintenance experience. I'm getting lots of experience on the kind of planes that I'll be using in the future. Compass trains with the 206 so that we'll be fully prepared for our technical evaluation. Compass is always focused on training for the future. Oh, let me introduce you to Jason. Jason, this is Megan. Well, Jason's apprenticing with us. Unlike me, he's not licensed with either a pilot's license or an A&P.
A&P, right.
Oh, A&P stands for Airframe and Power Plant. It's a mechanics license that allows you to work on the entire plane, including the engine. Let's go to the other hangar.
Are all these missionary planes?
Well, no, some of them are customer planes.
So what's the difference between a missionary plane and a customer plane?
Customers pay to have their planes worked on. It provides me with routine maintenance experience, and it also supports the ministry. Missionary planes provide me with the same experience, but there is no labor cost to the missionary or the mission agency.
So, like taking your car to the shop for an oil change?
Well, yeah, except we also do tire changes, repairs, modifications, inspections. An airplane needs an inspection because if it breaks down, you can't just pull over onto a cloud and work on it.
So what does a normal day look like?
Well, I don't know that there is a normal. Yesterday, I started out by finishing up an inspection. Then a customer came in who needed an oil change. After that, I picked up another customer to bring him back here to pick up their plane.
So whenever you fly customers, what do you usually fly them?
Here, I'll show you. It's the plane we normally use for training in our building. Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Exhausting.
He's studying for his commercial pilot's license. This is the 172.
Oh, wow,
I gotta go pick up a customer here in a bit.
Okay, thanks for the tour.
No problem. Hey, I was wondering, you wouldn't be interested in maybe going out and getting a bite to eat after work one day this week, would you?
I tell you what, I'll do better than that. My parents are really interested in missions. Why don't you just come over to our house one evening and have dinner with us, and you could tell them all the stuff you've been sharing with me.
I wouldn't want to intrude on your family time.
No, they love having people over, and I cook a mean lasagna. I'll talk to them this evening, and I'll call you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, talk to you later then. Bye.
All right. See ya.
So how did John become involved with Compass?
Well, what you're really asking is how did Compass get started? John Watt was co-founder with another man named Paul Hounshell. They both knew how important mission aviation was, and they felt a calling to start a training ministry for pilots and mechanics. Shelby Airport put out a request for someone to operate maintenance and flight, and they applied and got accepted. And through a series of what John calls God events, they were connected with John Armstrong from Proclaim Aviation, and he got them their first candidates, and that's how Compass got started. So with each new candidate, Compass grows and reshapes. Oh, hey, remember, I'm starting my TE tomorrow.
Right, your technical evaluation. I've been praying about that.
Yeah, it's what all my work at Compass has led up to. I'll call you when I find out if I pass or not. Thanks again, sir.
Hey, Sean. Oh, that's awesome! I knew you could do it! Oh, wow! I'm so proud of you. That is great. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay. So, what's next?
Raising more support, then onto the mission field.
That sounds like something I might like to be a part of.
For more information,
go to compassaviation.org.
You can also email us at info@compassaviation.org or call us at 704-669-5935.
It's an interesting story. before I answer that, I said this was a non-professional thing. This was made by a homeschooling student in her senior year as a project. And all the people you saw there are the people from their church or from Compass Aviation. And that guy who was kind of getting involved there at the end, he is not a pilot. He's a seminary student. And if he flew in that plane, he would be sick as a dog. But anyway, it's a great story, and they've done a great job, I think. I appreciate so much that you saw all of the Watt family in there, but you probably didn't know it. The one apprentice that they introduced is Jake, I think. That was Aaron. And Aaron really is apprenticing. He's probably going to do 5 years under his dad and finishing up high school. And he already has soloed and knows a lot, and he's going to learn a lot more by the time he finishes. But it's a great opportunity for him to work and be mentored by his father. That's what John wanted to do as a kid growing up. He was the Aaron in that picture. they mentioned those verses that are kind of hidden on the numbers that will be put on the plane's tail. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then the other tail number was from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. And so they are very thankful for the way the Lord has led them and blessed them. It's not been easy. It's a struggle all the time, but they have seen a lot of blessing and a lot of encouraging things. I just, in talking with John yesterday, I put together a quick list of things that he would like to share with you as far as praise items and also prayer. And you have a copy of this in your handout as well, so you don't have to remember every detail. But they have actually been involved in sending out more than 30 missionary pilots and mechanics all over the world. And this is a real dream come true. John is not able to go overseas himself because his family has some issues that would not allow them to be living overseas in some of the places where they would have to serve. And so he is now training others and duplicating himself in the lives of more than 30 people so far. And I believe if the Lord enables them to continue, it'll be even more. They have been able to save a lot of money as well. I think you might have caught in the video that they provide labor. They don't charge for the labor that they use, they give for repairing mission planes and doing projects for mission organizations, and they have saved more than $500,000 for these mission organizations. They could have been billing out their time that they gave over 7,000 man hours, and as a result, these mission organizations were able to save a lot of money and provide the jobs and training for the people going to Compass. They also, it was mentioned that they subsidize the flight instruction that are given to all the candidates that go through there. And John was saying that they have provided over 600, I'm not sure if it's this year or in total, I think it might even be this past year, 600 hours of subsidized flight training time and time building. They have to fly for a certain number of hours before they qualify to work on the mission field. And so by doing this and not charging $105 to $250 an hour, depending on what plane you're flying and how many engines it has and all that kind of stuff, they have saved, again, over $87,000 for the candidates that don't have to put this out of their own pocket. They've had numerous opportunities as a result of being there and having these customers come in for work and just going to various places as part of their normal work. They've had a number of contacts, including one person this past year who actually accepted the Lord as their Savior. They're very thrilled at that. By providing all of this free of charge labor and helping mission organizations to work on their planes and subsidize flight training, they operate on a very shoestring budget, you can imagine. They're a faith organization. And so by giving so much away to others, they also have to be very careful that they don't go in the red themselves. And it's always a struggle, but John was saying that they had some needs that the Lord seems to be preparing to meet those needs by the end of the year. That's three more days. But he was encouraged, and so we can praise the Lord with him for that. Their big need for next year is they're growing. They need to have another full-time pilot mechanic like John, somebody who has been on the mission field, for instance, who for one reason or another had to come home from Papua New Guinea or Haiti or wherever they were serving the Lord as a missionary pilot. They're already supported by their home churches, and they have no need to raise additional money, but they could, because of circumstances, need to be based in the States. They're waiting for the Lord to direct just such a person to them that could work on their staff and train other pilots and not have to worry about providing for their salary as well. So that's a big prayer need that you might pray with them about as well. I'm not quite sure what to do. I have five more minutes. Andy mentioned I have a devotional thought. I'd like to. Next week is going to be really busy. Next week I'm giving a missionary report on our trip to Africa at the end in 4 weeks. Can you believe it? Glenn and I are going back to where some of those pictures were taken in 4 weeks. And there are a number of issues that have come up recently. And I think in my last talk I mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. And we would really value your prayer. There are a number of issues that have come up recently. Not the money to get to the field, not the money, not the visas, not anything else, but we find ourselves going into some really difficult situations that we weren't aware of, and we're just praying for guidance from the Lord to provide the wisdom needed. I'll be talking with some of the leaders of the mission organization, Christian Missions in Many Lands, on Tuesday about some of these things. I would just cover your prayer The things that we thought we understood were going to happen and things that would be fairly smooth, nothing is smooth in Africa. So we really covered your prayers. I'll try to give more details next week. I don't want to steal any from time from John today. I could have perhaps done a couple of things, but I think our time is pretty well finished, and I would just ask you to be praying not only for John and the ministry, but the things that I'll be sharing next week as well. It'll be a busy week because of missionary stuff as well going on with Hal, and we'll try to get it all in, but for now I'm going to just stop with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the things that we've seen, the things that we have learned today, perhaps for the first time, about this organization that John has been involved with, Compass Aviation. We thank you so much for the various ministries they have and training pilots and mechanics, for sending them into the whole world. Thank you for the skill and the expertise they're getting there and the hours of experience both in mechanics and in flight that are being provided for them with the expert instruction. We just pray for those candidates who are there now, and we pray for Aaron as he goes through his apprenticeship as well, that he would be blessed and encouraged. We thank you for all the work that's being done there in preparation for some other service later on. And so we just pray that you will help them and encourage them. You know they wanted to be here today, and just pray that you would encourage their hearts and that you would provide for their needs as a family and for the ministry there. We thank you so much for all that you have done and continue to do year by year as they continue on in service there in North Carolina. So we commit them to you. We commit ourselves to you as we would return to our homes and for the rest of the activities of this day and this week and for the new year that we're about to enter. We thank you so much for your many blessings this past year. And even though the future is still not completely known, lots of questions, lots of need to have paths made straight. Things don't always work out the way we thought they would. And so we constantly are aware of the need for depending on you and for your guidance and your help. So we just commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.